You're listening to the Doing English Podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Hi, this is Julian from doingenglish.com, and welcome to episode number one of the Doing English Podcast. What are we going to be talking about in today's exciting episode? Today, I want to start with a bit of a bang. Something big, something grand, something kind of important. Before I get into this week's main topic, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the film, very famous film, the film The King's Speech? This is a great film, absolutely fantastic film. And if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend that you do so. And in fact, I kind of recommend that you stop listening now. Go out and rent it and watch it now before you listen to the rest of this podcast. I don't think I'm going to say anything which will ruin the film, but be warned, there might be a couple of spoilers in this episode. I don't think so, but just in case, be warned, there might be. So if you're worried about that, do stop this now and do go and watch the film first. But it is a fantastic film, and it is one that everybody should watch. And actually, I didn't see it until really quite recently. I don't know why. I'd thought about watching it when it came out, and I just didn't get round to going to see it. And then I thought about, you know, renting it a few times after then, but I never got round to it. About 2 months ago, I invested in a coaching package from a writer. Somebody who works with Hollywood screenwriters, helping them write better scripts that have more emotional impact. And I was working with him because right now I'm actually writing a book. At the time of recording this, I'm still writing. But for the initial story, I wanted the initial story to have as much impact as possible. So I did this coaching. Somewhere in the conversations that we had, the topic of the King's Speech came up. The guy who was coaching me used one of the scenes as an example. But of course, I hadn't seen the film, so I didn't really quite know what he meant. And he said to me, "What? You haven't seen it? But you're British, and it's one of the greatest films to have ever come out. What do you mean you haven't seen it? You're mad." I kind of had to agree with that. I was like, yeah, I'm probably one of the only people on earth who hasn't actually seen this film. So as soon as we'd finished our coaching session for the day, I got on my bike and I went to Steyr. Steyr is the name of probably, as far as I know anyway, the most famous DVD music rental chain in, at least in Tokyo, possibly all over Japan, I don't know, but at least in Tokyo. I went to Steyr. When I got there, I went straight to the lady who was working there and I said, "Where is the King's Speech? I want to rent the King's Speech." Of course, I said that in Japanese, but you get the idea. And she said, "Certainly, it's just over here." And she showed me where it was. I'm very lazy when it comes to the DVD rental store, by the way. It takes a long time to find anything. So I always just ask the assistant, "Where is it?" and get them to show me much quicker. Kind of lazy, but it works. Great way to practice my Japanese as well. But I am digressing. But anyway, I rented the film and I took it home. I watched it. And then when it ended, I rewound it right back to the beginning. I got a pen and I got a notebook and I watched it again. And for the 2 hours or so that I was watching it, I took notes furiously, filled up page after page of notes of things that I wanted to remember, technique, storytelling technique that they used. Maybe this is something I might talk about in a future podcast episode, but also ideas for the Doing English daily newsletter, which is the daily email that I send out every single day. I realized there are so many lessons in here for language learners. Now, of course, the king, Bertie, as he was called then, or Albert, as he was called then, he wasn't learning a foreign language. He had a speech impediment. But it was a very similar problem. He had a problem with his speaking, with his speech, that stopped him from progressing in his life, stopped him from doing the things that he wanted to do. And it held him back. Much like the power of speech, or the lack of power in their speech, often holds English learners back. Again, it's not quite the same thing, but it's very, very similar. Now, in the film, there is one particular scene that really grabbed my attention. It isn't one of the famous scenes. It's kind of an important scene for the film, because it's one of the reasons why he has to improve his speech. But it's not a major scene, I wouldn't say. In that scene, the king and his wife and his children, obviously Princess Elizabeth, are sitting in a room, sitting on some chairs, and they're watching a film that is being projected onto the wall with one of these old-style projectors. And it's a film of Hitler giving one of his very famous speeches. It's all in German, and of course they can't understand German because they're English. Princess Elizabeth is a little girl. She turns to her father, and she says, "What does he say, Daddy?" And her father, the king, turns to her and says, "I don't know, but he seems to be saying it rather well." Now, King George VI, Bertie, or Albert, as I said he was known then, before he changed his name, before he became the king, very, very well, because of his speech problem, he understood the importance of speaking well, the importance of speech, the importance of being able to move people with your words. And as I said, it wasn't that he was a non-native speaker. It's not that English was a second language for him. It was that he couldn't say anything particularly well. Because of his speech impediment, he had a very, very bad stutter. And it made it almost impossible for him to speak. He could barely say a word. And because of this, he didn't want to be the king. He didn't want to be the king because he knew that he couldn't be a good king without the power of speech, without the ability to speak well. He knew that he could never be a successful king. He knew that he could never lead his people to greatness. He knew that without being able to use words to move people, he could never command or control or rule his country in any kind of effective way. But he had to become king. His brother wasn't fit to be king. His brother made other choices in life. So Bertie, he had to become king. Not only did he have to become king, but he had to become king during one of the most difficult times the UK ever had. And that was the early days of the Second World War. So what did he do? King George VI, Albert, Bertie. What did he do? Did he sit and cry about it? No. Sure, he got angry, he got frustrated, but he did what he had to do. He set out to fix his problem. He set out to become a good speaker. And it wasn't easy. With his speech impediment, with his stutter, it wasn't easy. In fact, it was extremely difficult. Some said it would be impossible. But he tried his hardest, he tried everything, and he sought the help of many specialists. He consulted with the best speech therapists around. But none of them succeeded. None of them could help Bertie to become a better speaker. Until he met Lionel, a rather, shall we say, unconventional speech therapist. Now, it turned out that Lionel, and here is the spoiler if you haven't seen the film, it turned out that Lionel was not a qualified speech therapist. He had his own way of doing things that was strange to King George, but he got the trust of the king, or the king-to-be, and over time, he helped Bertie to succeed. Now, of course, The King's Speech as a film has been criticised a lot. A lot of people have criticised the historical accuracy of the film. Some things, of course, have been exaggerated. It is based on a true story, but some things have been exaggerated, you know, to make the story better, to make the story more interesting, to make the story more exciting. For example, apparently the king actually spent a much, much greater amount of time with Lionel, the speech therapist, several years more than what is portrayed in the film. And apparently his stutter wasn't actually as bad as it was shown in the film. So again, the film has been exaggerated. It has been dramatized somewhat. But, and here is the but, the basic story is there. The basic story is true. What Bertie did really happened. It is true. He went from someone so unconfident about his speech that he tried to avoid his duty. He tried to avoid becoming the King of England in England's time of need. But he had to become the king. So what did he do? He did what he had to do. He put in the work. He put in the effort. He fought past his problem. He overcame his speech problems. And he became someone famous for his skills as a leader during the war. His speeches will be eternally famous. His speeches were so powerful that some say that it was his speeches that let England win the war. His speeches inspired his people. It gave them courage during the dark days, when the whole world was torn apart by fighting and by war. It gave the British people hope. And some say without his speeches, we couldn't have survived the war. He went from someone so afraid of his own voice, someone who couldn't give a speech, someone who could barely speak, to someone able to move his people, to give his people hope and courage with his words and his power of speech, with his ability to speak well. How did he do this? He worked really hard to do this. He put in the time and the effort and the sweat that he had to. And he refused to stop, even though he wanted to give up. Sometimes he was convinced he couldn't do it. Sometimes he was sure it was impossible, but he refused to give up. And he kept going and going and pushing, pushing. And he learned to speak well. And you, my friend, dear listener, you can do exactly the same thing. Know that it can be done. Yes, you can reach the level that you want to in English. You can master the English language. You can use English as a tool in your work, in your life, in your business, in exactly the same way as you use your native language. It can be done. You just have to put in the time, put in the effort, put in the work, and have faith that eventually you will get there. Okay, that is it for today's podcast, episode number one. So what have we got coming up in episode number two next week, 7 days from now? Next week, I'm going to share with you one simple thing that you can start doing right now to improve your English faster. So look forward to that, and I'll see you in episode two of the Doing English podcast. Before I go, if you liked this episode, what you need to do now is you need to head on over to iTunes. Start up your computer, if you're not at your computer now. Start up your computer, head over to iTunes, and type into the search box, Doing English, and subscribe to this podcast. And whilst you're there, go ahead and leave a review. Let me know what you think. If you have any feedback, any comments, anything you want to say, or even any questions, anything that you want me to cover in a future episode, just leave them in the feedback box that you get there in iTunes, and I'll be checking those regularly. So go ahead, subscribe, leave a review, and I'll see you next week. This is Julian signing off from episode one of the Doing English podcast. Goodbye and take care.